You guys, thanks for doing this. I want to begin by asking you the general question, which is what Bill White should be doing right now. Here we are at the end of March. It's less than a month since the primary. He has many months until the November election to either spend his money or not, to attack Rick Perry or not, to define himself or not. I want to know, since each of you has seen your share of Democratic candidates and campaigns, what you think Mayor White ought to be doing as the nominee at this point. Glenn, you go first.
Well, to avoid making one mistake, which I think we often make from outside campaigns, which is to get the timing wrong. We often say timing is everything in politics, but there's a lot of time between now and November. Bill White has a lot of things to get done, and I think he has a bit of a luxury to choose the times in which he does it. I think he does need to step up the criticism of the policies of Rick Perry. I think he defines himself at the same time that he does that. I think he can use the free press and not spend a lot of money on that now. But I think he needs to make the case that this is more of a referendum on a decade of failed leadership, and that, by contrast, will put the focus on his successful leadership in Houston. And I think he can do those two things at once by picking some serious policy failures of the last decade at the state level and focusing on them.
Here is the best strategy, as Glenn suggests, to define this campaign by going after Rick Perry first, or does he have to introduce himself to the voters? We in Austin wonder if people outside of Houston think Rick Perry is running against Mark White.
Well, it's a tough trick to pull off, but in some ways I think he's got to do both things at once. The old rule is when you're, running against an incumbent of any kind, you've got to give voters a reason to get rid of them. And I think, as Glenn was saying, you can make some pretty strong arguments on the policy side, as well as, frankly, contrasting what the governor says is with what he actually does, on immigration, on taxes, on any number of issues. At the same time, I think White has got to slowly but steadily roll out his vision for what he would do as governor of Texas on issues ranging from public education to health care to higher education, the state's looming budget crisis, et cetera. And, he's a proven results getter here in Houston, so I think he's in a very serious policy person, so I think he'll be should easily be able to do that.
Charles, if it were that easy, Kay Bailey Hutchison would have done it, huh?
Well, the interesting thing is, I actually thought that towards the end of Kay Bailey Hutchison's campaign, the last month or so, I actually thought she was running a fairly effective campaign. And if she'd run that campaign, say, 6 months to a year before that, there might have been a different result. I actually think she was hitting him on some pretty good things towards the end there, but by that point, no one was paying attention to it. They'd already made up their minds. So I think if Bill White can, take that approach, take what Glenn and Keir is talking about in terms of, putting forth a narrative about why you need to fire Rick Perry, take the different criticisms of, education, the state, the cronyism, immigration, so on and so forth, develop them into a coherent theme that all centers around the fact that this guy's been in power for 10 years and it's time for a change. I think he can be successful with that. But I do think he needs to start it now and, not wait as long as Hutchison did.
Keir, does anybody out in the world, leave Austin and the Capitol inside community aside, but out in the rest of Texas, does anybody actually care about an argument that the governor has been in office too long? Kay Bailey Hutchison, as Charles says, tried to make it, did make it, but not very successfully. I'm just wondering if it's too much of a process argument and not enough of a substance argument.
I think people do care, and I think you have to remember in Senator Hutchison's case, it was hard for her to make that argument as a 20-year sitting senator herself. Whereas now, White did have a short tenure as mayor of Houston, but he's no longer in elective office, and prior to that, has not been an elected official. So he comes at this argument from a little bit different position. I do think it's effective. I mean, if you look at all the polling and the sentiment that's out there in the country, it's not a good time to be an incumbent of any kind in either party, frankly. And I think if it's done effectively, that White can use that sentiment to his advantage.
And if I could jump in for just a second, I think you have to make them care. And the way you make them care is by tying it to the results and the fact that, the reason why it is such a tough time to be an incumbent is because of, the economy and people struggling. And, you can point to any number of things that Rick Perry hasn't done that, hasn't helped anybody. You have to make them care.
Glenn, the interesting thing, I mean, to Charles and Keir's point, the interesting thing about the primary was that somehow a man who's been in public office for 25 years and is the longest serving governor of this state in history managed to run a campaign as an outsider. He was Mr. Anti-establishment. How does the mayor avoid allowing Governor Perry to position himself as the outsider again?
I think we have to be careful about drawing too many parallels between the general election and the primary that Perry just finished. Those are quite a bit different in character. They're quite a bit different in the kinds of voters that come to him. Perry was successful in his primary because he went and captured a significant majority of these new and enthused voters, angry about Washington, et cetera, and he did it really early. In a certain way, he put a barrier between Kay Bailey Hutchinson and any voter she could go get. So let's be careful about that. And a minute ago, you mentioned the what I think is really a false dichotomy. I don't think it holds anymore. It's old conventional wisdom, this idea that you first got to define yourself before you can attack your opponent. But you can do both things at the same time when you're talking about issues relevant to people's lives. I think Mayor White also has an advantage in that in the state's largest market in Houston and Southeast Texas, he's very well known. He has a really good base to operate from. He's not a neophyte in that area. While he has to be better known than the rest of Texas, by the time we get to October, his name out, he will be 100%, no matter how he proceeds from now to then, right?
But how does he get himself to 100%? The question is, assuming that you're right, and I think you are, that he's well known in Houston and Harris County and in the surrounding area, he doesn't have much of a profile yet in the other places. So the question is, Glenn, how does he get that profile? Does it happen organically? Does he spend his way to getting that profile? What does he have to do?
Well, I think he has to be cognizant of the fact that he can't get the news delivered to people in the state the way we used to be able to do it 20 years ago. There is a bit of a problem there with a diminishing, earned media outlets. He has to be aggressive. I mean, he has to be very aggressive in personal appearances and in press initiatives. And he has to use issues. When you ask the longevity question, you know the way I would talk about Perry's longevity? I would talk about Perry's been in power long enough for my child to make it all the way through our failing public schools. His influence on their lives has been enormous and not good. There you get a twofer. You're talking about our failures in education and a guy that's been around too long. And he has to be aggressive about doing that.
Keir, what do you think about the way that the mayor gets the word out about what he's doing? Of course, Kirk Watson and Ron Kirk in 2002 are two examples of guys who had very successful runs as nonpartisan mayors who enjoyed the support of the business communities in their respective cities. But when they attempted to go statewide, they couldn't replicate that success. How does White avoid that same trap?
Well, it's a challenge. There's no question about it. I mean, let's get down to brass tacks. A lot of it is a function of your ability to raise adequate funds. I mean, a state that has 18 media markets, it's expensive to communicate to voters across all of Texas. I think White has already demonstrated fundraising prowess, and I think he will be a well-funded candidate. So I think from that aspect, he'll have the resources that he needs to at least basically get his message out. The other is something that Glenn alludes to, which is using new media. Increasingly folks are getting their information from non-traditional sources. I think the White people understand that and will attempt to leverage those media wherever possible. The internet, sites like the Texas Tribune and others. To get their message out. So I think it's a combination of both of those factors.
Charles, you're someone who lives his life and works his magic in the world of non-traditional media as a blogger. The Perry campaign was actually pretty good about using non-traditional media, social media, and other tools in the primary. We can expect this to be one of the first truly 21st century campaigns in the fall, can't we?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, certainly Rick Perry has done a lot with that, and I actually think some of the things he's done has been pretty impressive. I wonder, as someone who doesn't run in those circles, how much of it is just him talking to the same people, and how much of it is him really bringing in, you know, people who might not have otherwise voted for him. I can't say. Obviously, the thing about using social media is that it does allow you to connect with people whom you might not know how to reach, because of, the effect of each individual person having the opportunity to bring in more people for you without you doing it yourself. I know White is doing that. I believe he will continue to. It's hard to say, it's hard to say who'll do it better, but there'll be a lot fought. There'll be a lot of ground fought there.
You have any reason to think Charles or Keir, both of you being in Houston, that the mayor will somehow be able to crack the code that Kirk and Watson did not in 02? In other words, the people who didn't traditionally support Democrats in Austin and Dallas but were with them when they were nonpartisan mayors didn't stay with them when they ran statewide. How does Mayor White keep the Republican and business community support that doesn't normally go Democratic when he runs as a Democrat as opposed to a nonpartisan candidate for mayor? Charlie, you first.
Well, again, it really comes down to giving people a reason to fire the guy who's there now.
So it's about a negative case against Perry as much as a positive case, again, for
White. It kind of has to be. And the place, you know, one place where I would hang my hat on is, you know, I read story after story these days about school districts, you know, especially the fast-growing school districts in places like Cy-Fair and Fort Bend that are, you know, they're running out of money. You know, the amount that was allocated to them in 2006 in that special session isn't anywhere near enough to keep up with their growth. And, you know, we're about to go into a legislative session where we're going to have to find more cuts. You know, you're going to need someone to say, you know, we've got this governor who's been in there for 10 years and, the schools are failing because he hasn't found a way, you know, he hasn't provided the leadership, he hasn't found a way to provide for all these students. And, you know, a lot of these places are not necessarily traditionally Democratic, but if you can make the case to them that what we're doing now is threatening their kids' future, right, I think you have a way to gain.
Keir, schools matter to everybody, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. What other issues would be the same things that would resonate with non-traditional Democratic or non-Democratic audiences?
Oh, well, I think that, you know, a number of the other social indicators, you know, dropout rates, teen pregnancy, things of that nature. But, you know, just to get back to your original question, I think a big difference between 2002 and 2010 is the old adage that familiarity breeds contempt. You know, people know a lot more about Rick Perry now than they did when he first got into the office. And to know him is not necessarily to love him. In addition, you have just had a very divisive primary on the Republican side where you had a number of business interests in Houston and Dallas and other places around the state that aligned with her. And as we've, you know, seen to date in Perry's case, when you cross him, whether you're Republican or Democrat, you're on his bad list for the foreseeable future. So a lot of these folks in the donor community and others are not going to have a home anyway if Perry is reelected governor. So some of them may make the decision that, you know, White, being a reasonable, moderate, business-minded Democrat, may be the better option.
How realistic, Glenn, is it to expect that the Hutchison supporters are going to not vote for Perry this time?
Well, that question and your previous question, I think, are on target, and I have an answer that I hope sheds some light on it. We got to remember that in 2002, we were at the absolute top of George W. Bush's popularity. The very best he'd ever done was going on in 2002. And here in Texas, there was a good, healthy, we know how big it was, about 10% of that support was in places like Westlake Hills in Austin and West University in Houston. And the support was not ideological or partisan, it was social in nature. George and Laura were very hip. It was fun to be seen at Jeffries with them. When the bloom came off that, and we see it in those House districts, that 10% dropped. And guess who that 10% are? Those are the voters you spoke of that Ron Kirk and Kirk Watson couldn't reach. But now they're available to the Democratic candidate. So right away, White has an advantage in reachable voters that neither Ron Kirk nor Kirk Watson had in 2002. And it's a very profound difference between those two elections. And it gives him really a leg up over any of our candidates in 2002.
Cuff, one of the issues that I'm curious to know about is the Obama factor. So, yes, George Bush was very popular on the ticket in 2002, and that popularity is not there anymore, and so maybe some of those voters are persuadable, as Glenn says. But the president is not nearly as popular in Texas today as he was in 2008, and he didn't win Texas then despite winning the national election. So I wondered to what degree Obama is a factor in this race in the fall and what White should do about it, in your opinion?
I don't know how much of a difference it makes. I mean, you know, Obama got about 44% of the vote here, and I don't think his popularity level is much lower than that.
You don't think that he'd get less than that if he ran today?
It's hard to say. I mean, you know, who's he running against, for one thing? But again, you know, his pot, you know, if you're going to go by how he did in 2008, he got 44% of the vote. My recollection from the most recent, opinion polls of his popularity level in Texas right now is it's about 40%. So, you know, it's not like he's bottomed out. What that says to me is that, you know, basically Democrats still like him, Republicans still don't, and people in the middle can go one way or the other. Rick Perry is obviously going to try and tie Bill White to President Obama. They're both Democrats. He is on, you know, he is less pop, you know, he is more unpopular than popular here. Bill White's going to have to distance himself a little bit from that. I personally hope not too much. But again, to me, you know, if I'm Bill White and Rick Perry wants to make this race about Washington, I turn around and say, you know, our problems aren't in Washington. They're right here. And they've been here for the past 10 years under the guy who's running the state. You know, he's always trying to blame someone else for his problems, and here he is doing it again.
Let me ask Keir about this. But again, Keir, you know, the problem is that's what happened in the primary. I know Glenn wants us to believe, maybe fairly, that the primary and the general are different. But Hutchison was not at all successful saying, stop talking about Washington, focus on Texas. What makes you think White would be successful in that same case?
Well, I think some of the dynamics are likely to be different. I mean, you know, Hutchison had the unfortunate situation of trying to make that argument in the backdrop of this enormously divisive healthcare debate that was going on in Washington throughout the primary season. And I think there's no question that that hurt her. And, you know, Perry's team very effectively exploited that situation to her detriment. But I think you know, part of it is, again, what you have to remember is the electorate is very different in November than it is in a March Republican primary. We're not talking about the same group of voters. And so I think that White will have a better chance to make that argument among, for example, independents, who are the largest voting group in the state, who largely don't vote in either primary. I think the incumbency argument is most likely to be effective with them.
And not to put too fine a point on it, but it's one thing to run against Washington when your opponent is based in Washington. It's another thing to run against Washington when your opponent isn't. I think that's different.
And a third thing, Glenn, is it's one thing to run against Washington when you are tied to Washington, but Bill White, in fact, has not been close with Barack Obama.
No, I think it's going to be a harder argument for Perry to make. I think also, let's look at the events of just the last several days where the Republican leadership here tried to build a substantial case to the point of Abbott joining a federal lawsuit against health care reform, to scathing reviews around the state and the nation, and absolutely no really public applause for it. Health care being in the past is going to help Democrats across the country, and it's going to help Bill White and other candidates here as people become more familiar with the benefits and the sort of lightning rod nature of it disappears. And I think this last 5 to 10 days shows you how difficult it may be now for Perry to keep Bill White tied to Washington in the way he was able to do with Hutchison. I think it's a much more difficult task for him.
So you would advise Bill White to embrace the health care legislation as an emblem of what a Democrat in office can do?
I think the success of it is really important to point to. I also think pointing out the immediate concrete benefits and focusing on those would be very smart for Bill White to focus on. Also, the fact that Republicans, from Mitt Romney to John McCain to Greg Abbott and others around the country, have proposed many of the ideas that are in this bill, and I would hit them on the hypocrisy frequently about that. It does two things. One, it keeps you focused on the benefits. Two, it sort of demoralizes the far right that bought into the demonization of health care from Republicans, who can now say, wait a minute, they've been screaming about something they themselves were for, and that may have a suppressive effect on them.
Evan, if I could add one quick thing.
Yes.
I think it's important, too, under the circumstances, to make Governor Perry own what comes or does not come out of both sides of his mouth. It's remarkable to me, for example, that you had the governor just a few short months ago talking about secession from the union, and now in the wake of the passage of this massive health care bill, he's been uncharacteristically silent about it. In fact, even discouraging the overheated rhetoric of some of the Tea Party crowd. It reminds me about, you know, the 06 campaign when he beat the immigration drum all through the campaign against Chris Bell, only to say after he won re-election when there was time for session, well, we don't really need a wall anyway. This was, you know, we don't, it's not necessary. I mean, again, someone has got to make him own up to the, you know, the double talk.
All right, well, let me ask you guys one last question. So you're the person responsible, Charlie first, then Keir, then Glenn. You're the person responsible for the white campaign treasury. Do you sit on your money now and save it for the fall, or do you start spending to get out in front of some of these issues, both in terms of introducing yourself to the public and attacking Perry? Charles, what do you think?
I would want to spend some money on infrastructure. Make sure that you've got a ground game in places that there's a lot more voters, but hasn't necessarily been a strong Democratic presence. I mean, Matt Stiles on the Tribune posted something earlier this week about how, you know, the 7 fastest growing counties in Texas are all you know, Republican places. But well, it turns out that that's true. But they've actually had more growth in Democratic voters over the past few years than they've had Republican voters. I'm talking about places like Collin and Denton and Williamson and Fort Bend. And some of these places have, you know, a Democratic Party structure. Some of them don't have such a good Democratic Party structure. This is a perfect opportunity right now to be putting people in place, finding your voters, and getting ready to, you know, make up some ground in places where you're going to try to be selling your message on things like education. So that's what I would do.
Keir, what do you think? Spend or save?
I think, you know, mostly save. I agree with Charles about building some infrastructure. I do think probably some point early summer you begin some, in selected markets, some targeted introductory positive advertisement to begin to lay out who you are as Bill White and what your vision for the state of Texas is. While, you know, hopefully you have the airwaves to yourself.
All right, Glenn, save or spend. You got to break the tie.
Well, I got friends on both sides, and I'm with my friends on this one. But this is what I would do if I was Bill White. I would do what Rick Perry did to Hutchison, and I would identify those voters that I need to get 50% plus one, and I'd build a wall between them and Rick Perry, whatever it takes to build that wall. And he could do a lot of it with less costly targeted communications in the mail and the internet and the press, et cetera. But he may, if he's polling as he does those things, find that he has to spend some media money. If he finds he does, I would spend it. I would not be penny wise and a pound short thinking, oh, if I just have millions in October, I'll win. He needs to spend what it takes to persuade those people, and he needs to start early. But he may be able to get away with it without spending hefty sums until later in the campaign.
All right. Let's leave it there. Glenn Smith, Keir Murray, Charles Kuffner, thanks for doing this, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.